Chapter 8 Kip was staring at Issa's body. After she'd seen the soldiers kill Ram, she'd looked back at Kip. She'd been looking for safety, for protection. She'd looked at him, and she'd known he couldn't save her. A sound and a sudden absence next to him made Kip tear his eyes away from Issa. Sanson was running toward the village. Sanson wasn't smart, but he'd always been practical. He hadn't done anything so dumb in his life. But Kip couldn't blame him. They'd never seen anyone die, either. But there was no way the soldiers could fail to see Sanson, and now he'd die too if Kip didn't do anything. Kip had stood around enough, doing nothing, while his friends died. He didn't think. He acted. He ran. The other way. Kip hated running. When Ram ran, it was like watching a hunting hound speed after a deer, all hard, lean muscles and flowing strength. When Issa ran, it was like watching the deer flee, all easy grace and surprising speed. Kip running was like a milk cow lumbering out to pasture. Still, no one was expecting him. He made it to Ram's body and to full speed before he heard a shout. He crashed up the bank of the river, barely slowing. Once he got his mass moving, it took a lot to stop him. A dead tree, its trunk rising to shin level, mostly hidden in the long grasses, counted as a lot. Kip's shin cracked into wood in mid-stride, and he pitched forward. He skidded on his face and then flopped over like a fish. Pain blurred his vision black and red. For a second he thought he was going to throw up, then he went light-headed. He looked down, fully expecting bone to be jutting out of his leg. Nothing. Wimp. Tears streamed from his eyes. His hands were bleeding again, fingernails torn. He heard the men on the bridge shouting. They'd lost him for the moment, but horsemen were coming. He wasn't 50 paces away. The grasses were only knee-high. The horsemen would see him any second now, and then he'd die. Just like Issa. He staggered to his feet, his shin afire, tears blurring the world. He hated himself, crying because he fell down, because he was clumsy, because he was weak. The horsemen gave a yell as he stood. Kip had seen King Haradul's horsemen pass through town before, but never in full battle harness. When they passed through Recton, their harnesses were always stowed. Recton wasn't even big enough to be worth showing off for. The two horsemen galloping toward Kip were both part of the lower cavalry. Barely able to afford their own ponies, weapons, and armor, they served only during the dry season. Amateur warriors, hoping to bring home loot and lies before the harvests. Both were dressed in mail and plate jackets. Lighter and cheaper than the full plate worn by the lords and King Haradul's mirrormen, these long jackets bore six narrow rows of thin, overlapping plates down the front, with 4-to-1 riveted mail for the sleeves and back. Each wore a taupe, a round helmet with a spike on top and vulture plumes sticking up beside them. A mail avantail, draped down over the shoulders, protecting the neck and giving double-thickness mail over the upper chest. Neither carried a lance. Instead, they bore vesheverals, sickle swords. The weapons had a long handle like an axe and a crescent moon-shaped blade at the end, with the inward bowl-shaped side being the cutting edge. The horsemen were jostling each other for the better line, laughing, competing to see who would hack the child. The laughter did it. It was one thing to give up and die. It was something else to let some giggling morons murder you. But there was no time. The horsemen had reached a full gallop, trampling the tender, radiant green grass the way they would trample Kip. They finally split, one switching his vesheveral to his left hand so they could cut Kip down simultaneously. Kip lashed out, jumping, determined to at least punch one stupid grin to oblivion before he died. It was a poor jump, and far too early. But as Kip's body rose to meet the extended lances, a radiant green mass rose through him. He felt energy rush out from his body. A dozen blades of grass rose through his hand with his punch, tearing his skin as they ripped out of him. They thickened to the width of boar spears as green light poured from him and became blades in truth. As he threw them into the air, Kip was thrown back down to the ground. The butts of a dozen radiant jade spears thunked into the ground around him. The horsemen barely had time to jerk on their reins before they rammed into a wall of spears. Their verchevrals went flying out of their hands as their horses were impaled, lifted off the ground by the angle of the spears, snapping those in front with the force of their impact, only to find more behind those and be impaled further. The riders were thrown from their saddles into the waiting green spears. The lighter of the two caught and was held 5 feet off the ground. The heavier rider snapped off the spears and fell flat on his back beside Kip. For a long, stupid moment, Kip had no idea what had happened. He heard a shout from the bridge. "Drafter! Green Drafter!" He looked at his hands. Radiant green was slowly leaking from his bloody fingertips, the exact shade of the grass and the spears. There were cuts at his knuckles, wrists, and under his nails, like something had ripped the skin on its way out. A scent like resin and cedar filled the air. Kip felt woozy. Someone was cursing in a low, desperate voice. He turned. It was the soldier, bleeding on the ground near him. Kip had no idea how the man was still alive. There were four spears through his body, but they were disappearing now, bowing under their own weight, shimmering as if on some tiny level they were boiling away into nothingness. The soldier sucked in a breath. The movement made the two spears through his chest shift. The soldier whimpered and cursed, and slowly the spears disappeared, leaving only chalky green grit to mix with his blood. Despite the mail hanging askew across the man's face, Kip could see the gleam of his dark eyes, shining with tears. For a few moments, Kip had felt connected. The green was unity, growth, wildness, wholeness. But as it slipped from his fingers, the great spears bowing like wilting flowers, he felt alone once more, scared. The smaller rider who'd been held off the ground was released with a thump and the clanging of mail as he hit the ground. The spears shimmered, dissipated, and blew apart like heavy dust. Kip heard weeping. It was the bigger rider, still cursing. The man drew in a great breath and abruptly coughed, spitting blood all through the mail over his face. He turned over onto his stomach, and more blood poured out of his broken taupe. Kip turned away. He looked toward the bridge. The king's soldiers were gone. Kip could only guess that they had assumed that some trained drafter had shown up to rescue him. Maybe they would wait until dark to come after him, or maybe they had their own drafter back at camp. Either way, Kip had to run. Fast. He turned on wobbly legs, fingers stinging, his brain thick with grief and exhaustion, and stumbled toward the orange grove.